Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan in for Rex Road this week. Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning as well. It is a beautiful day, one of my favorite days of the sporting year. NHL free agency is today. We're going to have you covered all day long here on 102.5 The Game. We are expecting the Predators to be relatively active today, so we'll see. Now, not much from the Predators over the weekend. They had the draft, didn't make any major trades. There are still some guys out there via trade that we think are available, so we'll get a little bit more into that here in just a few minutes. Take your thoughts on the Predators, the pursuit of Steven Stamkos, and among other things, 615-737-1025.
So Bob McKenzie, who comes out of retirement on July 1st,
he does,
has a couple of tweets that might be of interest.
Okay.
He says, "I would think Jake Gensel's deal with Tampa Bay will be the richest of the day. Word on the street, that is not necessarily an official number, is that it will be 7 years with an annual average value of $9 million or thereabouts."
Okay.
He also then adds what you mentioned before. When Florida officially announces Sam Reinhart's 8-year extension, reached just prior to midnight last night, expect the annual average value to be just north of 8.5. And I must say, incredibly impressive that Sam Reinhart was able to help negotiate a contract when he was drunk off his tush yesterday at that parade.
Well, he wasn't at the parade.
Oh, he wasn't?
He was not at the parade. He was at his friend's wedding.
Oh, well, there you
go. So he avoided.
He might have still been drunk.
He may have been drunk off his tush at the wedding.
Yeah, but, I mean, man.
That was quite the celebration.
Go find. I mean, we can't play the clips on air because we would violate FCC rules if we were to.
I could edit it up a little bit.
You wouldn't be able to hear anything.
No.
Probably not.
It was all F-bombs.
It was great, though.
Seek out Paul Maurice's speech and also what Aaron Ekblad had to say to Brooks Koepka.
It was also
do it on your own time. It's not safe for work, though, so make sure you have headphones in. But, okay, well, good for Sam Reinhart for going to his buddy's wedding instead of going to the parade for his team winning a title. But as Bob McKenzie has said, Sam Reinhart, 8-year deal, cap hit to be north of $8.5 million. Jake Gensel, 7 years, cap hit of $9 million.
Are you surprised that Gensel is coming in at a higher number than Reinhart?
Yes.
He just scored 57 goals.
Yes, I am. But then again, Gensel has been a more productive player over a longer stretch of his career than Reinhart. And I think Gensel led the Hurricanes in scoring from the time he was acquired through the end of their season. And
he proved me, I'm not going to say he proved me wrong, but I had, you know, we talked about Gensel at the deadline last year, not for the Predators day, but just in general. And my big question with him was, could he play away from Crosby? And he answered the question, yeah, he can.
Another tweet from Bob McKenzie. The Steven Stamkos sweepstakes are just that. With six or more teams still very much in the running, amongst the many suitors still pitching to Stamkos and his agent Don Meehan are Nashville, Anaheim, Carolina, Detroit, and New Jersey. Okay. But it's a fluid situation and others are involved as well.
I don't know that I could – I mean, look, maybe – maybe they just offering an absurd amount of money, but the Anaheim part of it doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you're
to him,
unless he just loves Alex Killorn.
Yeah, Vegas not mentioned in there, but
I would always keep Vegas in the back of your mind.
And we did get a text to that effect from Shane in the Borough, who says it's been reported that Vegas is now in on Stamkos with Marchessault hitting the market.
Yep.
If Vegas is in, then they'll probably get him, because they seem to always get whoever they want.
So how would they pull that off?
They would have to hire Jeff Galooly and have him just hit every player in the back of the knee with a metal pipe so they can all go on long-term injured reserve and be ready for the first game of the playoffs.
They've got projected, what, 1.8 roughly million in cap space right now. So they'd have to get creative in order to make it happen. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can go over the cap today, right? Like, there's a certain amount that you can go over the cap by.
I believe
you just have to be cap compliant.
I believe it's 10%.
I believe
you can go over the cap in the summer.
You're going to see some teams today that are over the salary cap by the end of the day.
They'll
have to weed their way back down by the start of the season.
Right, and the Golden Knights don't. I mean, they've got lots of players locked in. I mean, they don't have very many players like of note that are coming off the books. Jack Eichel, 2 more years at $10 million. Mark Stone, 3 more years at $9.5 million. They just signed Noah Hanifin to a long term deal. Alex Pietrangelo still has 3 years left at $8.8 million. So yeah, I don't know how they're gonna make it work, but if there's one thing to know, if there is a team that makes it work, it's the Vegas Golden Knights. So
there's no doubt about it.
By the way, one of the trades over the weekend, I don't know if you saw this or not. I'm sure you did. The Golden Knights traded Logan Thompson, their goaltender, to the Washington Capitals for a couple of picks. He had an autograph signing scheduled that morning at the Sphere where the draft was. He got a call that morning from their GM saying, hey, by the way, you've been traded. The guy still went to the Sphere and did his autograph signing. That's
good on him.
Good on Logan Thompson. What a mensch for, you know, I thought that was really cool of him to do. Because, I mean, most people have been like, I'm not doing that now. But he did it, and good for him. And the Capitals now have a goaltending tandem that makes like a combined like under $2 million. So it's good for them.
Good for them.
But yeah, you know, Vegas could make a way. Detroit is obviously linked to Stamkos because Steve Yzerman is their GM. But remember, Yzerman played hardball with Stamkos the last time he signed the contract.
Well, they just brought in Kane yesterday too. Now they got a ton of space.
And they're rumored
too.
To be in on Jacob Trouba.
Yeah.
That's another thing for the Red Wings. You know, the Devils are interesting. I don't know what their cap space situation is, but they made a trade over the weekend. They traded John Marino, their defenseman, to Utah. And
it looks like the Devils are going to be in on Brett Pesce. Looks like Brett Pesce, that's where he's going to
be. Which is unfortunate because I really liked the idea of Brett Pesce playing next to Roman Josi. I think he would have been a perfect partner for Josi. But now that Marino is out, I think the expectation is that Pesce will leave Carolina for New Jersey.
Well, by the way, Detroit has $28 million in cap space. So they got... Now, I don't think that's added in the Kane deal that was last night. I don't think. I have to go look.
And but that's a two... So that deal was, what, $4 million base
million,
salary?
And then it's got some incentives, which you can do...
When you're 35 plus.
And it does have Kane's deal baked in there. So they've still got $28 million, $28.7 million in projected cap space. So the Red Wings could be really aggressive today if they wanted to. So that's something to keep in mind on the Stamkos front as well. So Stamkos... aside, and we'll continue to take your thoughts on Stamkos all show long. But Stamkos aside, who are some other targets today for the Predators that you think, number one, makes sense, and number two, are realistic for Barry Trotz and company to pursue? And for the moment, we'll just stick to the free agent part of it, and we'll get into the trade potential coming up here in just a few minutes. Because I still think, whether it's the Predators or somebody else, you could see some trades go down today too. So let's start on the free agent front. Who are some other targets, Stamkos aside, that you think could make sense for Barry Trotz and company?
We've heard a lot about Chandler Stephenson. Yep. Barry Trotz has familiarity with Chandler Stephenson. He coached Chandler Stephenson when the Capitals won the Stanley Cup in 2018. Stephenson has become an effective player, mostly their second-line center in recent years. Had a down year in terms of production this past season. I think he had 51 points in 75 games, and he wasn't great in the playoffs. But the previous two seasons, he had 65 points in 81 games, 16 goals, 49 assists in the year the Golden Knights won the Cup, and he had 20 points in 22 playoff games, 10 goals, 10 assists. So a big part of the Golden Knights' run to the Stanley Cup. Are you listening, Jared Stillman?
Yes.
Because remember, if Jared has not heard of a player— which he has not heard of Chandler Stephenson, that player must be bad, so or not good, whatever way you want to put it.
This is Mikhail Granlund.
It's called
rule.
The Mikhail Granlund rule. So, tell me how many bad players have 20 points in 22 playoff games for a Stanley Cup winning team?
Doesn't happen often.
Doesn't happen often. So, you know, Stephenson. You know, he's one thing I'm worried about with Stephenson is he plays a lot with Mark Stone, and Mark Stone is one of the best two-way wingers in the NHL. Now, Stone was hurt a lot the past couple of years, and Stephenson was still able to be productive. But I do wonder if the quality of his line mate diminishes, will he still be as effective? That's a question I have about Stephenson. But we saw Barry Trotz acquire a player, not the same caliber of player, but acquire a player he has familiarity with. He coached Anthony Beauvillier,
yep.
And he acquired Anthony Beauvillier at the trade deadline. So Wouldn't shock me if Stevenson was on the Predators' radar.
What about Brady Shea on defense? Like, it looks like they're going to bring back Alex Carrier. I would assume that that's probably not – like, that to me, you know, Barry Trotz has talked about replacing, trying to replace Ryan McDonagh. Bringing back Alex Carrier, I'm with you, is a nice move. I'm interested to see what the number is. Because, honestly, if it's much higher than $4 million, I'm not overly interested in it. But we'll see. We'll see what the number looks like. But to me, that's not replacing Ryan McDonagh.
Mm-mm.
So whether it's Brady Shea, who I think makes a lot of sense for them, how do you view the Brady Shea part of this, and what number in terms of AAV would you be comfortable giving him? I've seen some reports that it could be in the sixes. So would you be okay with that if you're the Predators?
Yeah, that's a good question. Now, I think Shea is a really good all-around defender. He is left-handed, so he's not playing on a pair with Roman Josi. Now, right. Shea's partner in Carolina was Brad Pesce, who's right-handed. So he's used to playing with that type of defenseman. I wonder if you could play him with Carrier, if you could put Shea on Shea and Carrier. And that rolls off the tongue.
It does.
There are two things I like about Shea, and I've mentioned this a couple of times. One is that he does kill penalties. So it always helps to have a defenseman who can eat a lot of penalty killing minutes. I think he averaged more than 2 minutes of penalty kill time per game last season with the Hurricanes. The other thing that's actually most appealing about Brady Shea to me is that he is a productive defenseman from an offensive standpoint without needing power play time. Over the past two seasons, the only two defensemen in the NHL who have scored more even strength goals than Brady Shea are Erik Karlsson and Cale Makar. He has met as many even strength goals the past 2 years as Roman Josi. They both have 24.
Yep.
61 of his 85 points over the past two seasons have been at even strength. So he did get power play time in Carolina, but similar to how Roman Josi is the constant on the power play for the Predators, Brent Burns is that defenseman for the Hurricanes. So Shea wasn't getting a lot of power play time, but yet was a pretty productive defenseman offensively. So I like that. So Shea is used to having to put up a lot of his points at even strength because he's not going to get the benefit of as much power play time because of Roman Josi. So I like that about Shea. Yeah, $6 million or whatever it was. That seems like a lot.
It does.
I'd be more comfortable if it were in the fives. But I think Shea is a good player. I think he would absolutely help.
More of your thoughts on the Predators and free agency. We'll continue to look at targets for the Predators. More of your thoughts on the potential race for Steven Stamkos today. We'll see what happens on that front. And some trade targets that I think are still out there for the Nashville Predators and others to pursue if need be. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Join us this Thursday, July 4th at the 18th Annual Music City Hot Chicken Festival at East Park. A spectacular day with live music, contests, and, of course, hot chicken. It's free, so you can bring the whole family as well. Discover more at hotchickenfestival.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Adam Bengen, Nick Keyser here with you. By the way, a couple of you reaching out about our stream right now on Twitter, on YouTube. We're getting it fixed.
JC in Goodlettsville wants to make sure that when we discuss forwards, can you give their position? Really hoping we upgrade second line left wing, three forward upgrades, especially power play help, a defenseman, and Saros return form makes us a cup contender. Well, first of all, just so that JC and others know, Steven Stamkos, primarily a left wing. And we talked about him as the second line left wing,
yep.
But there are other ways that you could use him. Chandler Stephenson is a center.
Yep.
Brady Shea is a left-handed defenseman, and we'll continue to emphasize that. But right as we went to break, Greg Wyshynski, our friend, is on the Chase and Big Joe show every week, dropped a list of best team fits for top NHL free agent Steven Stamkos, and he broke it down into tiers. His top contender tier has four teams: Detroit, Nashville, Tampa, and Vegas. And he mentions one thing about Tampa that I to his credit, about Detroit, that I had completely forgotten. Of course, there is a Steve Yzerman connection. Their head coach, Derek Lalonde, was John Cooper's right-hand man as an assistant coach when the Lightning won two Stanley Cups. So he's familiar with the coach as well as the general manager. But Greg writes, that he heard the Predators as a potential landing spot for Stamkos back in March. And I remember him mentioning that and thought that was interesting. He fits the philosophy that GM Barry Trotz has quickly established in Nashville, playing with offensive pace under coach Andrew Brunette and augmenting a young roster with veteran stars who have won before. It started with Ryan O'Reilly. It could continue with Stamkos. He can slide in at center behind O'Reilly, even though I do think he'll be a left wing. And Greg says, but his biggest impact is probably on left wing, where Stamkos has played the majority of his time in Tampa in recent seasons. Tennessee is a bit like Florida for Stamkos. No state income tax, a comparable media market. And we already know he looks good in the local garb and has a picture of him from the stadium series.
Well, there was that.
And a bolo tie and jean shirt and all that. So, well, yes, a comparable media market.
It is a comparable media market.
Yes. Don't tell that to Jared because he'll probably say, there's no one in Tampa Bay who's mean like me. So we'll hear that at 2 o'clock probably. But Stamkos on the top contenders tier, or excuse me, Predators on this top contenders tier.
So
for Stamkos,
what
according
number,
to Greg,
let's say it's a 4-year deal.
Okay.
And maybe it's, I think 3 is probably the sweet spot for me, but let's say it's 4.
Okay.
What is the number per year that you think Stamkos is going to get? And how? And my second, because we got a question from Chip and Mount Juliet on the text line, which I think is a good question. If you get into a bidding war for Stamkos, is it worth it? Like, how high are you willing to go if you're Barry Trotz and the Predators for a bidding war for Steven Stamkos? What's kind of the max AAV that Adam Vingan, if you're the general manager, you'd be comfortable going to if you're trying to sign Steven Stamkos?
So there was a report over the weekend, I believe it was Pierre LeBrun, who wrote that the Lightning offered Stamkos an 8-year contract with around a $3 million cap hit
as a
way to keep him for the rest of his career and fit him into their salary structure. I would be willing to reverse that. I would be willing to give Steven Stamkos a 3-year contract with an $8 million cap hit. It would be lower than he's making now, 8.5. It would be lower than what Philip Forsberg is making now, 8.5. And if it went to 4 years, I would probably top off at 7. Maybe 7.5. But on the 3-year deal, I would be willing to give Steven Stamkos $8 million a season. The Predators have the space to do it. But then again, and Willie and I talked about this last week, we had Elliot on, as the Midday Show does every week, and he mentioned a player that could be available via trade that the Predators might be interested in that I didn't even realize was available. And that's Ross Colton, a former member of the Tampa Bay Lightning, who has spent last season with the Colorado Avalanche. And that's the thing you have to keep in mind, is I believe he has 3 years left on this contract with a $4 million cap hit. Now, Colton played second-line center at times in Colorado last season, if I have this right. Remember, the Avalanche traded for Ryan Johansson last summer with the hope that he would be their second-line center. It didn't work.
It did not.
Then Colton played in that spot for a while. It was a mixed bag. So they traded for Casey Mittelstadt, who did well in that role, and then just recently re-signed. So if you sign Stamkos to a big-money deal, even if it's short-term, you're probably going to have to take a discount in another area. Like, it may be difficult to sign Stamkos and Stevenson in your salary. I mean, maybe. Yeah. So you might have to trade for someone like a Ross Colton, but that doesn't solve your second-line center issue.
Exactly.
But I do think that I would be comfortable going up to, if it's a 3-year contract, I would be willing to give Stamkos 8. But we just saw that Sam Reinhart took a sweetheart deal to stay in Florida. As we all know, Nashville does not have a state income tax. So maybe it's three years, 7.5, something like that. But I think I don't think I'd go higher than 8. What about you?
I wouldn't go higher than 8 either. I think the Predators, but I don't think it'll take higher than 8. Like I don't think that somebody out there is going to pay Stamkos, you know, $9 million for the next 4 years. Like I just don't see that happening. So I'm willing to go to 7.5. I'm willing to go to 8 if I'm Barry Trotz in order to get this done. Now the follow up question to that is, I still believe if you sign him, you need to put a center with him. So can you, or do they have the capability of signing a Stamkos to a $7.5 million contract a Stevenson to a contract where he's going to make what?
I think five and a half? I don't think you can get Chandler Stevenson for less than five. Okay. I think it has to start at five.
So 5.5. Let's say that. So you're talking $13 million right there.
Yeah, adding Carrier.
Adding Carrier, whatever that is. Let's say, for the sake of argument, four. It's four. So that's 17. That 26 is dried up pretty quick, mm-hmm. and then you still need another defenseman.
Yeah.
So let's say it's Shea, and it's six. Well, that's $23 million right there. So all of a sudden you go from $26 million
to three.
You can do it. Is that the right approach if you're Barry Trotz and the Predators?
Well, you have all this cap space for a reason, right?
I agree. I think you should lean into it.
Yeah, I mean, what's the fun in having cap space if you don't spend it? And there are, look, I think Utah was a perfect example. The Utah Hockey Club, which is still getting, I'm still getting used to saying, which, you know, is
they
paying,
gotta fix that.
They're paying Shea Weber.
They are. Hall of Famer.
Yes. Hall of Famer Shea Weber. First ballot Hall of Famer Shea Weber. Anyway, I don't believe they had any NHL caliber defenseman under contract before the second day of the draft.
Correct.
And they took on the full freight of Mikhail Sergachev. They took on John Marino. They re-signed Sean Durzi. They're spending money, and that was one thing that made Utah attractive, was that now that the team is owned by someone who is willing to spend money instead of a team that's pinching pennies and the disaster that was the ownership in Arizona. They're spending money. And keep in mind, that's a division rival for the Predators. So yeah. We talk about Utah as this far-off thing. Like, the Predators are going to see them 3-4 times next year, that because they're the former Arizona Coyotes. So, you know, what's the fun? What's the point in having all this cap space? I understand sometimes it's important to hoard that cap space, but if the Predators are interested in competing, which they are, based on what Barry Trotz has said and what Barry Trotz has done so far, it doesn't make sense to sit on that cap space. So I think they're going to spend it.
I think they should. I mean, like you said, you've got the cap space. It's nice to have salary cap flexibility. But at some point, you got to spend it, right? Like, and you've decided to go in with Saros. And again, keep in mind, the Saros contract is not going to affect their cap this year.
Correct.
It doesn't start until next year. So that to me, Adam, is even more reason to kind of lean into this right now of – with one more year of him making $5 million before that new contract kicks in, you might as well start spending some money and try to maximize your team around it. Again, we can get into the argument we've had for 3 years at this point about whether or not that's the right approach and if they should embrace tanking and rebuilding that way. But, I mean, they're not doing that. Like, they've gone the opposite way. And, look, there are going to be Predators fans that they get through the end of this offseason and you're going to be like, are they getting younger? I thought they said they were getting younger. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So,
no.
I understand the hesitancy from part of the fan base on that approach. But, I mean, it just kind of is what it is at this point. To me, when you sign the goalie, you're going in. So, I think that they should be super aggressive today. What about the trade front? Marty Natchez is still out there. We brought up Marner earlier in the show. I don't know that there's going to be a resolution on that anytime soon. There are other players out there that we think are available via trade. Could the Predators add via trade today? We'll get more into that coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Memphis. Pregame at 6:50, first pitch 7:05. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vinyan, Nick Keyser here with you, taking your thoughts on the Predators and NHL free agency. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone and text lines, as always, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
And the text line is working.
Text line is working.
Despite what we said at the beginning of the show,
yeah. I was giving a heads up that it may not, but it is.
I'm glad it is because we're getting lots of good texts in.
We are.
And I just wanted to point this out because we were talking about this, and I've mentioned this a couple of times. So the NHL, they have like a running list of all of the rosters in the league. And, you know, this is going to be updated significantly today because there's a lot that's going to change. So as it stands right now, the Predators roster, The average age is 29.3 sacks.
Yeah.
Which makes them, if from youngest to oldest, the number one team in the league being the youngest, the number 32 team being the oldest, 27th. And yep. That's only going to get bigger if they sign Steven Stamkos.
Yes, it is.
So like this idea, and you've talked about this a lot, Robbie. This idea that this Predators team is a young team, it's not a young team.
It bothers me to no end when people say that.
It's not a young team. They have young players. You know,
some
young players, but it is by and large a veteran-laden team. And according to the NHL, one of the 5-6 oldest teams in the league. And it's going to get older if they sign Steven Stamkos.
Right, which a lot of people say, well, why would you do that? Like, get younger. And I get it. Like, we've talked about it. They need to get younger. They need to have some guys come in that are part of the solution now, but also part of the next way that can help you for the next 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Problem is, those guys are really difficult to find. Now, one way that you could find it, Adam, is via trade. So I want to ask you about two guys.
All right.
Trevor Zegras
mm-hmm.
in Anaheim.
All right.
He is out there. I don't know whether or not he's available. Like, I don't know that Anaheim is, like, actively shopping Trevor Zegras, but we've talked about him. We've talked about what that could mean in terms of if the Predators decided to pursue him. Now, Anaheim, they've drafted Leo Carlson. Cutter Gauthier is now with them. So they've got, you know, Troy Terry signed, I think, a deal worth $7 million a year. So, like, they've got some nice young pieces.
And New Jersey. Anaheim.
Yeah.
Nice
New Jersey.
So nice New
Jersey. Pretty good. So,
better than the other crap they were wearing.
No doubt about that. So, do you think, let's start with this. Number one, do you think Zegras is attainable? Like, do you think that whether it's the Predators or somebody else, Anaheim's actually willing to trade him? And number two, do you think the Predators are well positioned enough from an asset standpoint to put themselves in the mix for him if he were available?
It's a good question. To answer your first question, is he available generally? I would have a hard time imagining he's not, considering many people have been talking about him right. being available. Is he obtainable? I wonder if that's the deal that Askarov is a part of, if you're trying to
maybe so
to get Zegras. And look, Zegras, by the way, has been in the league for 4 years, and he's only 23 years old. And he already has 2 60-point seasons on his resume. He only played 31 games last year. He had a pretty bad, actually happened here. Didn't he get hurt in a game here last season?
Yes.
And he missed more than half the season. And the issue with Zegras, at least like why Anaheim might be souring on Trevor Zegras, is that for all of the flash, they want him to round out his game.
Yeah.
And I said this to Willie last week, and I stand by it. Not every player on your team needs to be well-rounded.
I agree.
If you have a player like Zegras, who at 23 years old is tremendously skilled, and we've seen some of the crazy stuff he's been able to do on the ice. I mean, the guy was on the cover of an NHL video game a few years ago because of his ability to do certain things on the ice. If you have a player who's as immensely skilled as Trevor Zegras, quite frankly, I'm not that all bent out of shape that he's not good in his own end.
Yeah.
Like, you have other players on your team that are good in their own end. You don't need Zegras to be a two-way Selke trophy candidate.
It would be nice, but it's not necessary.
And the idea of Zegras being that first-line center that you can build around, and then you move O'Reilly down like you talked about, I like the idea. What's it going to take to get him? I have no idea. I mean, it's probably going to take Anaheim is at a stage where I think they're not. I feel like they're not quite yet in the place where they're trying to, like, okay, we've got the players, we've got the high draft picks, we're ready to roll.
I
feel like they're still accumulating futures, and I feel like the Predators are uniquely equipped to handle that because they've got a lot of draft picks. I wonder if Askarov is the player that goes the other way to give them a goalie to build around.
So he's intriguing to me because he kind of is the embodiment of that take big swings phrase that Barry Trotz has thrown out there. Like, in order to land a number one center, and I don't know if Zegras is going to be that. He could be, if he stays healthy, I think he could be. He could be a really good two. Like, I don't know. But to me, if he were to be available and the Predators could grab him, like, that to me is a chance for you to have a guy that can help you right now, but could also be a foundational piece for your franchise for the next 8, 10 years, which they just don't have a lot of those guys right now.
No.
I mean, I don't know that they have any of those guys right now. So that could be an option there. Okay, another guy that we've talked about via trade is Natchez. So Natchez is still with Carolina. He's a restricted free agent. Carolina just lost Gensel. So I wonder how aggressive that they're going to be in free agency today. But the Natchez part of this, we know the reporting around him suggests that he is certainly attainable. So I'm not going to ask you the attainable question. What do you think it would take to get Natchez? And could the best move today for the Predators, let's say you go get Stamkos, could the next best move be trying to get a Natchez via trade in terms of lining yourself up from an asset standpoint that way if you're Barry Trotz? Because the reporting around the Natchez situation is they want it resolved sooner rather than later. Like, you know, Friedman was talking about maybe by the draft. Well, it didn't happen by the draft. So could it be something that happens today?
Well, could he solve your second line center issue?
I think he could.
I think he had. I mean, I don't know how much center he's played in Carolina, but
he's some, but he's also been on the wing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that could solve your second line center issue.
But I think he wants to play center.
Okay. I wonder about the opportunity for an offer sheet. And I know offer sheets are rare in the NHL, but Carolina has had plenty of experience in the past few years dealing with offer sheets. Remember, Montreal, I believe it was, offer sheeted Sebastian Aho. They matched. Then Carolina offer sheeted Jesperi Kotkaniemi, and Montreal let him go. So he has that experience. Carolina has that experience with offer sheets. Like, if would you be willing? Like, so I think the cap hit that Natchez is going to come in at, the Predators would have to use they would lose a first, second, and third round pick in order to, if they were to offer sheet Natchez and Carolina were to walk away, that's what it would take. That's what the Predators would have to give the Hurricanes, a first, second, and third round pick. Would you be willing to do that for Natchez? Would you be willing to give up three draft picks for Natchez?
My initial reaction to that on the surface of it is probably no, that he's not worth that. But they also have a ton of draft picks, right?
Well, let me ask you this question.
They got two first-round picks next year.
Let me ask you this question. Would you rather offer sheet Natchez and give up a first, second, and third-round pick, or trade for him and give up either Yaroslav Askarov or Luke Evangelista?
Well, I'd give up the draft picks.
Yeah.
I've given the draft picks. Now, you know, the Askarov part of this is interesting. I'm interested. Like, I wonder if somebody makes an aggressive push for him today, too, by the way. Like, I'm interested to see what that looks like. But, yeah, I would rather give up the draft picks rather than either a high-level prospect or a guy that you feel really good about in Evangelista. So, from that standpoint, I would rather offer seed it.
I think that's
unlikely to happen.
Yeah, just because offer sheets don't typically happen. So there's that. But yeah, look, Natchez checks off a lot of boxes in terms of what he brings to the table. He's young.
Yeah.
He's proven. He plays well with speed, which fits in well with Andrew Brunette. There's a lot to like about Natchez, and if he wants to play center, there's an opportunity for him here to play center, which he wasn't going to get in Carolina. So I understand what you're saying, and I largely agree with it, that now that Gensel is out the door, do they pivot to Natchez and say, hey, we really need you, man?
Is he receptive to
that? Absolutely. Carolina's going to be an interesting team today, because they have a lot of important players that need new contracts. Teuvo Teravainen is an unrestricted free agent. Shea, we mentioned. Pesci, we mentioned. Jordan Martinook, I believe, is an unrestricted free agent. Stefan Nason is an unrestricted free agent. This feels like the band is finally being broken up for a team that's been very, very good for several years.
That hasn't broken through.
Right. It feels like the end of an era in Carolina today.
What about We brought up Marchessault. He's leaving Vegas.
Leaving Las Vegas?
They're not making a deal. Nicely done.
See what I did there?
Doesn't look like they're going to be able to come to a deal. So we've talked about Marchessault as a consolation prize. Let me ask you this. If you're Barry Trotz, could you go for both? Could you try to land Stamkos and Marchessault same day today? Now, you're talking about Again, you're not helping your average age out if you're landing both of those guys. Marceau's what, 33?
He's in his Stamkos is 34. He's in his mid-30s as well.
So I don't expect that that would be the approach. Like, I could see where if the Predators didn't land Stamkos, maybe they pivot to Marceau. I would be surprised if they went and got both. But, I mean, technically, from a cap standpoint, they probably could. What would you think of that strategy if you were Barry Trotz?
That would be bold. That would absolutely be bold. You'd have no problems on your left wing anymore. Because
you would not.
Because Marceau is also mostly a left winger. Maybe he switches to center. I don't know how much experience he has at center. But that would be something. I doubt that happens, though. But like after now that Reinhardt is off the market, and as you said, I don't think anybody expected him to leave Florida.
Right.
If the Predators strike out on Stamkos and they strike out on Marceau, in terms of adding a top six winger, your options are pretty
limited.
You're limited after that. Like you're going to have to be creative. You're probably going to have to trade for one at that point.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I think it's reached the point, and fair or unfair, but I think it's reached the point where if they didn't land a Stamkos or a Marceau today, a lot of Predators fans would be bummed out.
Yeah.
Which I get it. I mean, those guys are really, really good players. I get it. But I would be stunned if the Predators aren't pretty active today. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to land Stamkos. Doesn't mean they're going to land Marceau. But I think you're going to hear them in on a lot of people today.
Yeah.
And again, you brought up the Wyshynski thing earlier, and he went through the fits for Stamkos. The mystery in all this is I haven't heard anybody talk about what he wants. I have no idea what Steven Stamkos is looking for in all this.
Yeah.
And where the Predators check those boxes.
And from what I've read, he didn't really care for the dog and pony show. I specifically remember him visiting the Maple Leafs or the Canadiens. I can't remember if it was Toronto or Montreal. But like a paparazzo took a picture of him through his hotel window.
Yeah.
And it was just like very strange. And yeah. I don't think that Stamkos enjoyed that too much. No, maybe at this point of his career it's different. But you're right. We have not heard from Steven Stamkos. But it does appear that he made it known at the beginning of last season that he was upset that they didn't come to terms on the contract last summer.
Yes.
When he was eligible for it. So the fact that it hasn't happened yet, I'm sure, upsets him. But, yeah, who knows what he wants. But, I mean, there are going to be tons of teams knocking his door down over the next several hours.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on NHL free agency. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators as well. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Normally the rant this time every day, but it is NHL free agency day, so we're going to keep rolling right along with NHL free agency.
I did rant earlier on
you
Mike,
did.
On Mike from Nashville.
That
so
is true.
If you want to hear that, go back to about 6:15, 6:20.
Yeah.
You'll hear me rant. So that counts as the rant for the day.
We're having some streaming issues on Twitter and YouTube at the moment. So just listen on our app or listen at thegamenashville.com or on your radio. Robbie and Rex Road every morning, 6 to 9 a.m. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on Steven Stamkos and the Predators as free agency begins today for the Nashville Predators and the National Hockey League. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So what do you make of how the defense currently sits? So we brought up the report earlier. It looks like Alex Carrier is going to be back. So when you look at guys that you feel good about being on the team, as camp breaks up, as things currently stand, Josi is under contract, Shen is under contract, Fabro is under contract, Lozon is under contract. I think we would all agree that Spencer Stastny is going to make the team out of camp. So that's five guys right there. If Carrier's back, that's six. So you have an NHL defense corps right there. I would assume they're going to add one more guy today, whether that's a Brady Shea or somebody else. So how do you view the defense corps as currently constructed? I've said this for a long time. 2 years ago, if you would have told me that in 2024, both Dante Fabro and Alex Carrier would still be on the team, I would have thought you were crazy. Well, it looks like they're both still going to be on the team as of today. So I wonder, they signed Fabro at the deadline last year to a $2.5 million contract for this year. We'll see what Carrier's number comes in at. How do you view the Predators' defense corps as currently constructed, and how would you view it if a Brady Shea is added to the mix? How do you think that dynamic works?
Well, let's line this up. Let's go pair by pair. So we know Roman Josi is on the top pair on the left. If we talked about Brett Pesce as a potential right, you know, partner for Josi, it appears that Pesce will be heading to the New Jersey Devils.
Yep.
So who is Josi's partner on the top pair?
I would assume Fabbro if he's playing. Let me ask you this.
That's how I feel
we saw
about
them
that.
Do this last year with McDonough. They played McDonough on the left, Josi on the right. Do you think they could try that with Shea? Could they play Shea on the left, Josi on the right?
They could. I just don't know how much experience Shea has playing on his offhand, so I can't speak to whether or not he can do it. I'm sure he could.
Well, I'm saying Shea on the left.
Oh,
and
sorry,
put
Roman
Josi
on the right.
The right.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good question, too.
Because Roman can do it. Like we saw, he did it last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are some parts about it that they like. Like they like having him set up for his one-timer.
Yeah.
And he is skilled enough with the puck that he can handle a lot of things on his backhand that a lot of other defensemen can't do. Now, I think if you gave him, in a perfect world, he'd probably still like to be on the left. So, I mean, there's give and take there. But I guess you could do that. But to your point, like I think Brett Pesce would have been perfect to just slide next to Roman Josi. It looks like he's going to New Jersey. So if it's Shea and that's the guy that they add, and they don't want to play him with Josi. Like, who's playing with Josi? Is it going to be Carrier? Is it going to be Fabbro?
Carrier is interesting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if they're re-signing him, I can't imagine that they're breaking apart his pairing with Lauzon.
Probably not. But, yeah. Like, to me, that shouldn't be your second pair.
Yeah.
Like, that, to me, is they played well together last year. But mm-hmm. I think if you're trying to get to a higher level, I don't know that that's what your second pairing should be.
Yeah, I mean, Josi, I think it was Willie who said it was Ryan McDonough who said that, you know, Roman Josi ends up all over the ice anyway.
He does.
So him playing on his offhand really doesn't make that big of a deal. So if you want to play him on his offhand and have Shea on his left, we can go with that. So let's say they sign Brady Shea, they play him on the top pair on the left and play Roman on the right. And then we would have Lauzon and Carrier.
And then presumably
Stasny and Shen with Fabbro as your extra.
But again, like, that's why the Fabbro thing didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Like, he was scratched half the time last year anyway. It's like, is he going to play or is he not? I actually thought he was okay last year when he was in there. Like, he played okay. Like, he's not a top fairing defenseman, though. I think we would all agree with that. Like, he doesn't really need to be playing with Roman Josi full time, in my opinion.
No. Yeah, I agree with you. Like, if you would have told me that both Carrier and Fabbro would still be on the team together again, assuming, as it has been reported, that Carrier will re-sign with the Predators, I would have been shocked. I just felt like it was one or the other. And by the way, I have listed here, like, the most commonly used Predators defensive pairs last season,
yeah,
at even strength. Carrier and Lauzon were number one by a wide margin, followed by Josi and Fabbro.
Yep.
Followed by Josi and McDonough.
Yeah.
Followed by McDonough and Shen. Followed by McDonough and Carrier.
Okay.
Those were the top five in terms of ice time.
Yep.
So maybe it is Fabbro. I mean, maybe it's Josi, Fabbro, Brady Shea, Alex Carrier, Jeremy Lauzon, Luke Shen, or I don't know.
I think a lot of people would say, like, couldn't you just scratch Luke Shen? And I get it. Like, I actually thought Shen played well in the playoffs. Like, he played pretty well in the Vancouver series. But, like, there were certainly moments last year that Shen and the lack of speed and mobility was a problem for them. So, I think in a perfect world, like, getting him in on a rotational basis would be pretty good. The question is, like, is Fabbro the one that should be playing full time? And I don't know about that.
Ethan from Lawrenceburg texts, just get it over with and put Shen with Josi. That's what we all want to see. LOL.
Well, I mean, that's Barry Trotz did say that last year.
Yeah, and I immediately
gotta protect Josi.
I immediately tugged at my collar like, ugh, I don't like
look,
that.
Look, you're not gonna find a bigger Luke Shen guy than me. I love me some Luke Shen.
Okay,
he's an awesome dude. probably shouldn't be playing 20 minutes a night.
Yeah, I don't know.
Especially, this stage of his career, probably shouldn't be doing that.
That was the one signing they made last year that it was like, it's too long and too much money. With O'Reilly, it was the right amount of money. I thought it was too long. Shedden was like, this contract is objectively bad.
Yeah.
And I don't think he did a lot to.
Again, love me some Luke Shen. I really do. I think he probably got a little bit too much crap last year, especially in the playoffs. But I digress. Their defense is in an interesting spot here. I think you could probably stand to add a couple of guys today. The problem is that I just don't know that there's going to be the budget to do so if you're going to be as aggressive as they probably need to be at forward. What they really need on defense this year, regardless of who they sign today, they need Stasny to stay healthy and to be really good. They need Spencer Stasny to be a guy that they feel comfortable putting out in just about any situation this year. If you do that, then I think you have the makings of a pretty good defense corps.
Yeah, I mean, gone are the days of, Yossi and Ellison, Ekholm and Subban.
Right.
Those, the Predators were spoiled with that defense and really have been spoiled on defense for much of their history.
Yeah.
But, the projected lineup that we just trotted out there isn't bad.
No.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not, super great.
Right.
You still have Roman Yossi at the height of his powers, and Brady Shea, I think, would be a really good addition. But, yeah, there's still some questions. The Fabro thing has always been very interesting to me, just because I feel like every time you feel like he's just about to hit where he's supposed to be,
yep, he
takes a step back.
Yep. And it's kind of been that way for years at this point. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators and NHL free agency. We'll get his thoughts specifically on Steven Stamkos as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.